Death of a Lake, written by Arthur Upfield and read by Peter Hosking. It was not an event to be forgotten by those closely associated with it. The details were recorded by the police and studied by Detective Inspector Bonaparte many months later. Ray Gillan arrived at Lake Otway on September the 3rd, and the next morning was taken on the books by Richard Martyr. As is the rule, no questions were asked of Gillan concerning previous employment or personal history, the only interest in him by his employer being his degree of efficiency in the work he was expected to do. And as a stockman, he was certainly efficient. 9 weeks later, on the night of November the 7th, Gillan was drowned in Lake Otway. And late the following day, the senior police officer at Menindee arrived with Mr. Wallace, the owner. To Sergeant Mansell, Martyr passed all Gillan's effects. He, having in the presence of witnesses, listed the contents of Gillan's suitcase and the items of his swag. At that time, the men's quarters were occupied by Lester, McLennan, Carney and George Barbie. The quarters consisted of a bungalow having three bedrooms either side of the living room. Lester occupied one room and McLennan another. Carney occupied the same room with Gillan, and Barbie had a room to himself. November came in very hot, and the men often descended the steps cut into the face of the bluff and bathed in the lake, which at this date was 12 feet 5 inches deep. Neither Lester nor McLennan could swim. Barbie could, but never ventured far from the shore. Of about the same age, 25, both Gillan and Carney were strong swimmers, especially the former, who boasted that with a little training he could swim across the lake and back. On the night of November the 7th, the moon was almost at full. The day had been very hot, and the night warm and still. The men played poker using matches until 10:45 when they went to bed. Carney stated that shortly after he and Gillan got to bed, Gillan announced his intention of going for a swim. Carney, on the verge of sleeping, declined Gillan's invitation to accompany him. He stated that it wasn't until he awoke the following morning that he discovered Gillan hadn't returned. The last Carney saw of Gillan was when he put out the light on leaving the room. Gillan then was wearing only his pyjama trousers. A quick check of Gillan's clothes proved that he could not have returned from the lake, slept, awakened early and dressed, and gone out. It was after breakfast when Martyr appeared to give his orders for the day that Gillan was reported missing. For Sergeant Mansell, a routine job. He examined Gillan's clothes, his swag of blankets, and the contents of his suitcase, the suitcase being of good quality. There was no clue to Gillan's people. He examined the man's motorbike, a powerful machine in good condition, noted its registration and engine numbers, and went back to his office. Wallace and his overseer organised the hands. Aborigines were brought from the river, and meanwhile Lester and Carney and McLennan scoured the country about the lake in the extremely unlikely event that Gillan had wandered away and become lost. On the third day, and subsequently, all hands patrolled the shores to await the coming in of the body. The wind direction and the current set up by the wind were carefully calculated. But the body did not come ashore, and it was ultimately assumed that it had been trapped by a wire fence crossing the lake, which was of course submerged when the depression filled with water.